Good morning. Before I get started today, I want to take a moment to express our deepest thanks for the way that this church family has loved us this week. On Monday, Mike's mom, Sarah, went to be with Jesus. And as you can imagine, this week has been a little different than we planned. Sarah was an amazing disciple of Jesus. 25 years ago, she came to the Vineyard, and thankfully she brought Mike with her, and that really set stuff up great for me. And she's loved Jesus. She's been battling cancer for several years, but her passing was a bit unexpected this week. And so we've spent the entire weekend in Arthur celebrating her incredible life. She was born and raised in Arthur, lived her entire life there. We stood in a receiving line for 5.5 hours as hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came to say how Sarah had impacted their life. And it was an incredibly, incredibly beautiful and spiritual time. You know, I don't know how anybody does life without Jesus, but secondly, I don't know how anybody does life without a church community. And so thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Mike and I have felt so loved this week by you all. And we're grateful that you'll continue to pray for us as we learn to live without his mom. I consider it an honor today to get to share this message with you, because the thing I'm going to talk about is something that Sarah lived. I'm going to talk about intimacy with Jesus. I'm going to talk about our personal relationship with him. And so it is with great joy and deep honor that I'm going to share the word that I believe the Lord has for us today. And I enter today with deep expectancy, because I believe that Jesus wants to meet us in the midst of our pain and our hardship. You know, this fall, we've been talking about our kingdom authority, that we have been authorized by Jesus, because we're in relationship with him, to bring heaven's order to the chaos of earth. And we have this authority because we're in relationship with the King. And over the last couple of weeks, we have been learning and studying about this authority. We looked at the story of authority, how we were built for authority, and we lost authority and then regained authority through Jesus. And then we looked at how our identity is so key in this entire journey of learning to live in kingdom authority. And today I'm going to continue our series where we talk about intimacy with Jesus. Now, if you've missed any of these messages, I want to encourage you. It's so easy to go back and to listen to messages when you happen to miss a week. You can go on our website, tvc.us. You can go to Urbana Messages, and you can easily click through to find our YouTube channel, and you can go to see these messages. I know that if you listen, you will be blessed. And I'm going to continue our series today talking about intimacy with Jesus, as I said. You see, the secret to Jesus's ministry and to his authority was intimacy. Our personal relationship with Jesus is the well that sustains and releases authority. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to be the teacher. He's a way better teacher than me. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? We need you, Holy Spirit. And I pray that today that you would be the teacher. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when Mike and I first met, I had a Nokia brick phone. Did anyone else have this phone? Oh, yes. Here's my people. Not nearly as many as first service, though. Okay, so back in the day, cell phones worked like this. After 9 p.m., you could call and text anybody. But before 9 p.m., you had a bank of minutes, and every text cost money, okay? 1 month, I will never forget my younger brother, Corey, he sent 700 texts that month, and my dad was furious because every single one cost money. He was like, what are you texting 700 times to somebody? He's like, I don't know, just what's up? Hey, what, hi, you know. I digress. Okay, so Mike and I, we were long distance because I was still in college when we met, and he was back near where he grew up working. And so, you know, like when you're young and you're in love and you need to tell every detail of your life to that person and you're poor and you're in college, it really sets you up for a very large phone bill if you're not careful. And so the way Mike and I chose to communicate was we used something called AOL. Okay, this was the original DM, okay? It was on your computer. It was kind of like texting through your computer. And then we would also send each other this newfangled thing. They were called emails. We thought they were amazing. And he would often sign them "Your Country Prince," and I was sold, okay? I had it bad. And if we called each other, it was only after 9 p.m. because we were poor, okay? We were trying to save the money. And I'm an early bird. I like to go to bed early and wake up early. But I would stay up till like 2 o'clock in the morning for this man. Why? Because I was falling in love. And that's what you do when you are falling in love with someone. Isn't it amazing how you can talk for hours and hours and hours? I mean, what did we, I don't even know what we were talking about. But we spent so much time together, spent time doing things together and learning what each other liked. Often I was doing things I wasn't really sure, but he liked it. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll do that. And what that entire time is about, it's about learning about one another, about connecting, about learning to trust one another. You share your hopes and your dreams and your quirks and the things that drive you crazy, and then you laugh about those things. You're learning to trust one another and do life together. You know, when Mike and I got married 21 years ago, I thought that I really knew him. And now, decades later, I realize there was so much that I did not know about that sweet man, that sweet, sweet man. Although there were things he did not know about me either. Because here's the truth. You know, we're always learning. We're always growing. And in healthy relationships should have a component where you are always learning and growing with one another, where things are being revealed. You see, our intimacy has grown and it's changed how we relate to each other. I've changed and he's changed. I've grown and he's grown. When I married Mike, I instantly became a yoder. And I had all of the benefits immediately of being a yoder. And I married into an amazing, amazing family. But over the years, I have grown into a deep sense of belonging in that family. I don't just carry the name. I feel at home. And in the same way, our relationship with Jesus is meant to grow over time. You know, when we first meet him, we receive all the benefits of belonging. We are forgiven, we have grace, we have adoption into the family, but as we walk with him, we begin to understand what it really means to be his, to carry his name, to carry his authority, to walk in his power, and to live out his mission. God designed us for a personal, intimate relationship with him. When we believe in him, the scripture says we are united with him. In fact, the scripture uses a marriage analogy. The Bible says this. He says that the Lord is the bridegroom and we are his bride. And we are to live in intimacy with him. Now, people feel a lot of different ways about the word intimacy. It's a tender word. It's a personal word. It's an intimate word. I don't know if you're supposed to use the word to talk about the word, but it feels like it applies here. It's a Latin word called intimus, and it means innermost. And so intimacy is about our innermost. It's about the deepest parts of us, our hopes, our fears, our joys, our wounds, and allowing him to truly know us. And then for us to choose to truly know him, to seek his heart and his desire and his will. True intimacy, it's mutual. It is to know him and to be known by him. And the good news is you don't have to do this on your own. We have a helper that we're going to talk about today. Now, there is a powerful connection between intimacy with Jesus and authority in the kingdom. The key to Jesus's miraculous ministry was found in his relationship with the Father. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and I'm going to take us to a passage here where Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father. He's talking about how does this relationship work and how is it connected to kingdom authority. This is John 5:19. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished." Okay, what can we learn? Well, what we need to establish is although Jesus was fully God, he chose to live as a man. And he chose to live in complete dependence on his Father, drawing his authority from intimacy, humility, and obedience.
Jesus' ability to hear God's voice, to see what the Father was doing, and then act in supernatural ways was flowing from a deep connection to his Father. How did Jesus do what he did? It all came from his relationship with the Father. And the same is true for us. If we want to live in the fullness of kingdom authority, if we want to do the greater works that he mentions here, we can only do that by cultivating a life of intimacy and dependence with the Father. You see, unlike earthly systems where authority is given maybe by structure or rank or maybe the org chart, that's not how it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, authority flows from relationship and intimacy with God. We have authority because we have a relationship with the King. We cannot exercise kingdom authority without closeness to the King. It's like a heart trying to pump without a pulse. It's like a branch trying to bear fruit that's been cut off from the vine. Without connection, life stops flowing. Everything needs a connection to the source to function, and the same is true for us. We were created for intimacy with him. And so it is through our personal relationship, our union, it becomes the well that sustains and releases kingdom authority in our lives. Why? Well, John 5 told us, because he loves us. Because he loves us. And he wants to give us this in our lives. Okay, so this sounds amazing. The key to kingdom authority, the key to Jesus' life and ministry was his relationship with the Father, was intimacy with the Father. What's the problem? Well, the problem is that intimacy with Jesus is challenging. And you know what I find interesting for most of us? It's not an issue of desire, right? If I said to you right now, do you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus? Do you want to feel closer to him? Do you want to feel known by God? I think most people in this room would say, and watching or listening would say, yes, I want that. Okay, so it's not an issue of desire. So what is it an issue of? Well, in my own life, I'll just disclose where I struggle. You know, so often I find myself in a bit of a rut where I know the things I should do. I know I should read my Bible. I know I should journal. I know I should do these things, but it feels more rote and routine than alive and fresh. And I find myself saying, okay, I'm going to do it, but I don't look forward to it with joy. You know, in our lives, we have four kids. We have a very busy schedule. And another problem that sometimes happens to me is I try to squeeze God instead of give him space. And so I say, okay, I've got a few minutes right now. Okay, let's see. And you know what? That's like eating a chicken nugget when there's a roast coming. But that's what happens to us. That is what happens to us. We try to squeeze God into these little tight places and spaces. And I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I slip into that performance mode where I kind of think to myself, okay, I need to do things for God so I feel close to him. His nearness depends on my performance. And so I think for some of us, we need to have a little check-in right now. We need to be honest with ourselves. Where is your intimacy with the Father at? How is your personal relationship with him going? Where are you getting tripped up? Now, I think for all of us, let's just acknowledge one of the challenges in building intimacy with the Father is that we are building a relationship with someone that we can't see, we can't sit down and have a cup of coffee with, we can't touch, and that is a challenge. But I'm going to talk about three kind of general things that I think plague us when we're trying to build intimacy with the Father. And because I'm me, they all start with an S, okay? The first is this: we are not giving him space. And I get it. I get it. Our schedules are overflowing. Our phones are constantly buzzing. We're going from one thing to the next thing. And it's really hard to hear God's whispers when we aren't stopping at all. We are not giving space. We are plugging every part of our day. And we are saying to people, I have no time. I have no time. I have no time. Let me encourage you to look at your phone log. It tracks everything that you do every time you open an app. And I think you will discover you do have time. You do have time, but we live in a culture that is not creating space. And here's the thing, you know where your relationship with Jesus grows? It grows when you give it space. It grows in the margin. It grows in the rest. It grows in the Sabbath. That's where the relationship can grow. So for some of us, it's a space issue. We aren't making the space. Okay, secondly, for others of us, there's a shame issue. Okay, and Daniel talked about this last week. One of the enemy's favorite tactics is when we have messed up, he says, don't go to dad. Don't go to dad. That is absolutely fake news. Run to the Father. But what happens is that we mess up and that shame keeps us in a trap and we think, well, I can't go to the Lord. And so what do? We try to, we're busy. We're like, okay, I know I should read, but I'm not doing that anyway. So, and we start playing all these games and we start even thinking, you know what, the way other people have responded to what I've done, that's how God's going to respond. But that's not true. Okay. So space, shame. And the last one is simply striving. Many of us believe that God will be more pleased if we do more. And so we try to earn his love, but it's already ours. Yeah. Intimacy isn't grown in striving. It's grown in honesty. And like any relationship, it is formed through consistency and not perfection. True intimacy is showing up not to get something from God, but to be with someone. To be with the one who created you. And here's the truth. We probably all face a combination of these barriers from space and shame and striving. But today, the worst thing for me would be if you walked away today and you thought, oh, they talked about personal relationship and I'm a disaster. And you feel all this shame and you feel all of this just discouragement and condemnation. That is not the message I bring to you today. There is no condemnation today, but there is an invitation. You must stop trying to achieve intimacy and you must receive intimacy. And so today it's not gonna be, okay, this week I'm gonna get serious. I'm gonna make a list. I'm gonna read my Bible every day. I'm gonna do it. You know what I want you to do this week? I want you to receive the love of a father. I want you to receive it because here's the truth. The call's coming. The plans are changing. The loved one's going. Your whole week is going to get turned upside down. And if you do not learn to receive the love of the Father, you will never walk the way the Father wanted you to walk. And part of that is in kingdom authority. Your personal relationship with Jesus is the most precious thing in your life. And so today, if you are in a dry spell, if you aren't doing the things you know you're to do, I want to say, I give you no condemnation, but I give you an invitation. If you want to live in the fullness of what Jesus has for you, you have to learn to receive. Okay, intimacy is the well that sustains and releases kingdom authority. Let's look at how Jesus lived his life. How did Jesus cultivate intimacy in his life? Okay, we're gonna look at a couple of scriptures and we're gonna work our way through just a couple of interesting things I think that we can take note of. Jesus, again, lived as a man. He set aside his divine privileges. And this is important because it means that he is not only a model for us, he's a model of us. So what Jesus did, we should look at and pay attention to. So what did Jesus do? Jesus often withdrew to spend long hours alone in prayer, nurturing the most vital of relationships. This is what Luke 5:16 says. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You know, throughout the Gospels, there's about 10 accounts, depending on how you count them, on times that Jesus went away from people, whether that was the disciples, whether that was public ministry, the crowds. He went away to be with the Father because he knew that intimacy was the thing that kept his heart aligned with God's will. Intimacy is where he realized he would get his instructions. And he only acted in agreement with what the Father was doing. Going back to John 5:19, it says this, remember? So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So as Jesus ministered, his spirit was always attentive to the Father's voice. He listened carefully to discern what the Father wanted to do in each moment. And because he heard clearly, he could act with confidence and authority, knowing he was carrying God's purposes. One of the enemy's favorite tactics in our lives is uncertainty, insecurity, and doubt. And so many of us, what ends up happening is circumstances come at us, and then what happens? We start thinking, is God really who he says he is? Can I get through this? What's gonna happen? And all of these things start swirling in our minds. But here's the thing, intimacy with Jesus, it creates confidence in us, and that confidence makes a way for doubt to die. Yeah. And so if you are struggling in a place of just feeling tossed about, You must learn to spend time with Jesus. Jesus's intimacy with the Father gave him both direction and then power to fulfill his daily mission. Now, as I was studying for this message, I loved a book called I Give You Authority by Charles Kraft. And if you're interested in growing in understanding this, I recommend this book. Charles Kraft deeply influenced John Wimber, the man who was known as the founder of the Vineyard. And he had some really profound insights that he shared about intimacy and authority. And so I'm going to use a little bit of what he talked about in that book. You know, he talked about God's promises in authority are connected to God's will. And he talks a lot about our responsibility is bringing our wills into alignment with God's will, just as Jesus did. And how does that alignment happen? That alignment happens in your personal relationship with God, in stillness, in prayer, in fellowship with God. So when we set aside time with him, we then receive instructions and spiritual power needed for the work that's before us. And you know what? It's not so much about like getting your daily download of instructions like, do this, then do this, then do this. Sometimes that happens, but you know what it is about? It's about being filled with the Spirit so that when you meet people who need prayer or care, you are ready to go. You can see the need in front of you and you have something to give to them. Do we want to see heaven's order come to the chaos of earth? I do. I want to see things that are broken made whole. I want to see bodies that are that need healing whole. We have to spend time with Jesus. You know, there was so much that I had to do this week that I didn't have it in me. I felt so helpless so many times. And so I knew what I needed to do. I knew that I needed to spend time in the Word. I knew that I needed to spend time listening to worship music and talking to the Lord. Why? I knew that I was going to have to love and serve people this week as I went through my own grief. And what happened is the Holy Spirit filled me up so I could be there for Mike, so I could be there for the siblings, so I could be there for the 14 grandkids that no longer have Meemaw. That's how this thing works. We receive from the Lord so that we can give it away. You are a colander for Jesus. What he does in you, he wants to do through you. And so we receive so then we can partner with him. The goal of our relationship with God, here's the goal, complete intimacy. To know him and to be known. To receive from him so that we can give it all away. Authority flows from hearing and responding to God's voice. Because intimacy is what sustains and releases kingdom authority. Okay, we're gonna talk an entire week about the topic of prayer. Huge topic when it comes to authority. And so I'm gonna just very briefly talk about this, but in the book, Kraft talks about two types of prayer. And the thing about prayer is it's just communicating, right? It's talking to God. And so it is a foundation in building your relationship and building intimacy with God, but there's two types of prayer he talks about. There's intimacy prayer. This is the foundation. This is just simply being in God's presence. This is listening and resting and communing with him. Again, we saw Jesus doing this when he would go into the wilderness because this is what he knew. He knew that intimacy was to be protected and not presumed. He also knew that his public power was sustained by private communion. I love the passion of young people. And I love that when you're young, you want to change the world. And I hope we all still want to change the world. But I want to say to young people, I want to say to people who are hungry to change the world, if you want to change the world, if you want to do amazing things with God, you got to spend time with God. Yes. It's in that secret place that those things are going to be able to be bubbled out of you so that you have something to give away. You can't give away what you don't have. And so you must spend time with the Father. We absolutely have to do this. So we can't let that space or shame or striving keep us from spending time with Jesus. So there's intimacy prayer. And then Kraft talks about how this flows into authority prayer. And authority prayer is when we've heard from the Father and then we speak out what he is saying. You see, Jesus modeled this perfectly. He would listen to the Father and then he would act divinely in authority to teach, to heal, and to set people free. And that is what we are also supposed to do. You know what I love about Jesus? He really operated in peace. It wasn't about performance for him because he knew the Father loved him. John 3:35 says this, the Father loves the Son and has put everything into his hands. You see, Jesus knew who he was. And when we know who we are, that fear, that insecurity, it goes. And the confidence rises. And in confidence, doubt dies. And so all of these things are deeply connected. There is an inseparable link between intimacy prayer and authority prayer. I love Kraft ended part of that section by talking about what he calls personal intimacy authority. And he goes, this is the type of authority that comes directly from God. He goes, it's God ordained and spirit sustained. God ordained and spirit sustained, marked by both compassion and power. This type of authority requires continual fellowship with God. May that be how we are. Okay, I want to take us to John 14 because we need to look at another passage of scripture where Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father. And this is going to give us keys to understanding how kingdom authority and intimacy work for us once Jesus went to heaven. Okay? And so we're going to read a little chunk of scripture and then I'll stop and we'll talk a little bit more about it. So this is John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is a dense passage. There's a lot of good truth in here. But it is a fascinating look at the relationship between Jesus and the Father. It gives us a glimpse of how relationship and intimacy are at the core of kingdom authority. And so let's just unpack just a little bit. So Jesus starts and he's talking. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he's not just offering a new philosophy or offering directions to God. He is the direction. He's not just promising to teach us truth. He is truth. Jesus' words, you need to know they're radical here. They're countercultural here. Because he is not describing a God to be studied. He is describing a Father to be known. That is what you have been built for. A relationship, a living relationship with the King. And Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father's heart. Now, we believe in a Trinitarian God. One God, three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. And Jesus, to know Jesus is to know the Father. To see Jesus is to see the Father. So Jesus' compassion, his power, his mercy, that is exactly who the Father is. And the cross and the resurrection reveal this in full. It is the love of the Father on display through the Son. And so let's give Philip, a little bit of a break here because, you know, he kind of gets, you know, in trouble. And, you know, Philip's like, okay, show us the Father. And Jesus is like, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. You see, Philip had walked with Jesus for years, and yet he still missed this truth. And I think that many of us can do this too. We can be near Jesus. We can be involved with his work. And yet we still do not fully recognize him. And this is why growing in our relationship with him is so incredibly important. Developing intimacy and nurturing your connection is vital in this entire life. So Jesus lived in union with the Father. They were united. Think about this paradigm shift. The disciples have never heard this language before. And Jesus is trying to explain it to him that, you know, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. He's using kind of challenging language here. And he's trying to explain that this union is sustained by complete dependence upon the Father. He did nothing apart from the Father. He only spoke the words that the Father gave him. And in a world that worships independence, could we repent? Because the way that we have been designed is for dependence. Dependence on our Father, dependence on the King through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we are called to. Jesus is explaining, listen, we lived in constant communion. You see, Jesus lived in true intimacy with the Father. And that is why his words carried authority and his works carried power. And he's inviting his disciples into this. He's saying, listen, I want you to place your trust in me. And when you do that, he gives us an astonishing promise. He says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is an astonishing promise. When we believe in Jesus, he comes to live inside of us. We are united with him. We live in union with him. The Bible says we become partakers of his divine nature. Now, that doesn't mean we become God. That means we are united with God. And so when we say, when you believe in Jesus, it's not just like, well, I believe in him. No, you believe that you have been joined with him, that you have been united with him, that you have been made new in him, and you now have access to him in a completely different way. Now, I hope when you read scriptures like this, you say to yourself, whoa, what? The same and greater things. What did Jesus do? Well, he raised the dead and he healed the sick and he cast out demons and he brought justice where there was injustice and he miraculously supplied food. And I could go on and on and on about these things that Jesus says we're going to do, the same and greater things. And we do this in his name, not as a magic formula, but because we have a friendship with the King. Because we live in union with him and we can say in intimacy, God, I'm connected to you and I can ask you these things. But I don't know about you, but I just think to myself, but how? Yeah. Like how? How am I going to do those things? Well, don't worry, because Jesus actually talks about that in verse 16. And he says this, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We don't have to do any of this apart from the Holy Spirit. You have live in help in you right now that is revealing Jesus to you. And so we look at Jesus as the model. We look at him and we say, okay, his obedience and his deep communion with the Father gave him strength and power, and that produced kingdom authority in his life. Do you long to see a breakthrough in your family? Do you need a breakthrough in your finances? Do you want healing and wholeness in your body? You need the authority of heaven. And the authority of heaven comes from your personal relationship with Jesus, from the access that the Holy Spirit makes possible. And so today I want to encourage you, you can be filled afresh with him. The Spirit can be stirred up again within you. Ultimately, personal intimacy authority flows from time spent with Jesus. And here's the only qualification. It's a living, abiding relationship with the source of all authority. I'm going to take us to one more scripture, John 15. This is where Jesus explains how we stay connected to him. This is John 15, verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the good news of Jesus. When you say yes to him, you are grafted into that vine. And the instructions are to remain. You're in. And so we're not going to try to strive. We're not going to try to strain. We're not going to try to achieve our way into intimacy. We are going to receive. We are going to remain in the vine. Why? So that we bear much fruit. Because that's what Jesus wants to do. And let me tell you, growing and sustaining intimacy with Jesus, it's a long journey. And there's going to be beautiful highs and really ugly lows. And there's going to be drudgery and there's going to be joy. And that's the way it is, because it's much like a human relationship. It takes time and intentionality. And I want to tell you, you have to do the things. You have to. You have to read the word. We want to give you a one-year Bible. You need to worship. You need to spend time with him. It's those structure times, but it's also spontaneous times. Is it reading and journaling and praying and worshiping? All those. But it's also walking and playing, resting and sleeping. It's all these things. Jesus is worth it. Intimacy is the well that releases and sustains kingdom authority. And so I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. And this is my instruction to you this week. Draw close to the King. He's in the room. He wants to meet you right here, right now. He wants to meet you the entire week, but I believe there is a special thing happening today where you can come to the Father. You can be filled with his love. And so today during worship, if you want to be water baptized, if you want to give your life to the Lord, we have an entire team of people who are ready. We have shorts, we have shirts, we have towels. Don't wait. If today is your day, we want to celebrate with you. And so I'm going to pray us into worship and then we'll come back up and do some ministry. But Jesus, we thank you that you made a way. God, you made a way for us to enter into this glorious, intimate relationship, God, where we know you and you know us. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and wreck us, Holy Spirit. God, where we feel weary, we break that off. Where we feel dry, God, let the river rage. In Jesus' name, amen.